Of you who haven't been here before, we've been going through a series on the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are beautifully written. They tell us what we need to know, but it's not just a list of rules. And sometimes we get in a mistake of looking at the Ten Commandments as a list of rules, a list of things, a list of instructions. But what is the purpose of the commandment? What are the purposes of all the commandments that God gives us? You boil them all down. If you took everything God said, it has to do with love. Outgoing concern first for God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And second, for neighbor as yourself. Now, you say, David, don't you start every message that you've given on the commandments this way? Yes, I do. Because it's important you know why they're given. Because if you start looking at these things as a litmus test of rules and things you check off the box, you miss the whole point. It's about developing your relationship with God and developing your relationship with others. That is the purpose of the commandments. And if we start keeping a list of rules and we miss the reason for the commandments, we miss the whole point. We miss the whole thing. A lot of people can keep the letter of the law. They can go down the list of commandments and check off the boxes that we did this and did that. And if that's the way you view the commandments, you've missed the whole point. God is giving us instruction about how to have a great relationship with Him and a great relationship with others. And it's not just about what you do not do in the letter, but it's how you live according to these things in the Spirit. The spiritual aspects. Do we see it the way Jesus sees it? It says in 2 Corinthians 3 that the Old Testament is read by the Jews, but a veil remains over them. But it says the veil is taken away in Christ, so that in reading the Old Testament, we see it the way He sees it and the way He wants us to see it and to understand. Now, last week we were talking about the fourth commandment. And the fourth commandment, as we saw, is the only commandment that begins with the word remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest to the Lord, and it is holy. And we saw how God made this at the very beginning. How if you look outside at the mountains and you see the beautiful blue sky, you see the trees, you see the grass, you look and say, God made the sun, God made the moon, God made the stars, because it says so in Genesis 1, then you also must say that the same God who did things on the first 6 days also blessed and sanctified the seventh day. If you believe the first 6 days, you got to believe the seventh day too. He made everything. And He blessed and sanctified the seventh day. Genesis 2:1. Now we went through the scriptures. We saw how this is a day that's revealed. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You can't feel it. It is only a day you know by faith. You've got to believe this, or otherwise you'll never discover it. It's only by revelation. We talked about how when God revealed it, what did He do? He sent manna for 5 days. And if they tried to keep manna over, what happened? It got rotten. It stank. It had worms the very next morning. So 5 days He would send out. And on the sixth day, He'd send twice as much manna out. And He told them to keep it over for the next day. He wasn't going to send any because that was the Sabbath. He wasn't going to give them manna. And so He did a miracle. He sent twice as much. They gathered twice as much. And it didn't stink on the seventh day. It didn't have worms. It was still good for food on the seventh, and there was no manna to be found out that day. He did it by miracle. For 40 years, every week, He delivered enough manna for one day, for 5 days of the week. On the sixth day, He delivered enough for the sixth day and the seventh. On the seventh, He rained none. For 40 years, a lesson was being shown, a revelation of this day by God. Now we went on to see how Jesus kept this day. We went on to see how even after His death, His disciples kept this day. We went on to see how Paul kept this day, and even how Gentiles begged for Him to come back and preach to them on the Sabbath day. We saw the examples of it. We went on to see how the day was prophesied. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, before the great tribulation, He said, pray that your flight be not on the wind or on the Sabbath day. In His prophecy. And then of course in Isaiah 66, the prophecy, there will come a day when all flesh, God says, all flesh, from Sabbath to Sabbath, will come to worship Him. So we see it prophesied. We see it in the past, at the beginning of creation, before there was a Jew or Gentile, we see the day. We see that God gave it to His people. We see that Jesus kept it and said He was Lord of it, that He made it, He owns it. We see His disciples kept it. We see He prophesies in the future that His disciples will keep it. And we see that it will be kept by all flesh someday at the return of Christ. So now let's turn back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Let's pick up today. Because last week was establishing what? What is this thing, the Sabbath? 6 days you shall work, the seventh is the Sabbath. We established when it was, from evening and the next day, beginning what we would call today Friday evening, carrying over to Saturday. Let's notice here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Again, whose day is it? It's God's day. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, and He rested the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So one of the first concepts we see here in this commandment is rest. The giving of rest. Not just the taking of rest for yourself, but also, see, He says, give rest to those around you. Now that's going to be important. Just kind of keep that thought in your mind as we progress through the Scriptures today. Giving rest to those around you. Remember that God rested, and then He gave us His rest. And then He said, but when you rest, I want you to give rest to other people as well. Okay, so you might want to put a marker, I guess we're not going to come back here. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible and need one, raise your hand. Because I know there's some Bibles laying around in here somewhere. I think most people have them, so that's great. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 12 says, observe the Sabbath day. Now here's something interesting about this commandment. When you compare the Exodus writing of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy, the one that changes is this one on the Sabbath, the explanation part. Observe the Sabbath to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Again, this concept that's saying, give rest. Give rest. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So God gives rest, and He says, remember that you were a slave. Remember that you were a slave. Now, we weren't slaves physically in Egypt. Right? I mean, none of us were slaves. You remember, even when Jesus was on the earth, He called the people around Him, the Pharisees, He said, you're all slaves. And they're like, what do you mean? We're free men. But there is a slavery that comes to sin, to our flesh, to this world. And only by the mighty power of God, His salvation for us brings us out. So when you think of this day, He says, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Remember that without God, you're a slave to this world, to its greed, to its fear, to its anxiety, to all the things that drive it in life. Remember that before God called you, before God saved you, you were a slave to the things of this world. It says Jesus led captivity captive. He led the captives out of captivity, out of sin and death, and into righteousness and holiness, as it says in Romans chapter 6. So the Sabbath day was a day of freedom, a day of liberty. Now think of it, if you were a slave in Egypt, you were working for somebody else. Your life was about bondage. Your life was about serving this lesser master, not God, a lesser God. And so when he brought them out, one of the first things he did, before he even gave them the Ten Commandments, he said, I'm going to test them and see if they'll walk in my laws. And he gave them the Sabbath. He said, one day you get off. You don't have to work. Enjoy your freedom. Enjoy rest. Now, do you remember what happened? We read it last week in Exodus 16. It said, and still some of them went out to gather on the Sabbath day. And it said, God was angry. He was angry. He's like, it's a day off. Enjoy it. Rest. Take it easy. And they're like, no, we want to go work. We want to go gathering. It's amazing how hard it is sometimes for us simply to enjoy rest. To appreciate and enjoy rest. And I'm not just talking about physical rest. I'm talking about the rest that comes when Jesus Christ delivers us. And as we enter in, like even this morning, when we all come here together and we start worshiping God. You know, when you really start to worship God, do you sense the peace that passes understanding? Do you feel the rest in your heart and in your mind? Do you feel maybe the anxieties and the cares of all the things that you've been working at this week just kind of fade away? Because in the light of God, in the light of His rest, the burdens that we've been working on all week, they seem not heavy anymore. They're light. They're easy. Taking the time to rest. Taking the time to say, I'm putting it down. I've worked at it now for 6 days. I'm putting down these things. I'm going to rest. And I'm going to rest with you, God. But people want to work. Turn over with me to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. If you hit Job, you've gone too far. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 15, it says here, in those days, this is Nehemiah writing, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and donkeys loaded with wine, figs, grapes, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, we talked about this last week. If you're old enough, you will remember when we were kids, the stores were closed on Sundays. There was an observance of Sabbath in this country by the Protestants who came here. It was common. It was the norm to observe the Sabbath. Now, whether you kept it on a Saturday or Sunday, people might have disputed over that. But it was kept. This is a modern concept, this thing of working on Sundays. In fact, you can look for 1900 years after Christ, you're going to find the Christian church basically was observing the Sabbath. So we see here that he was seeing all kinds of work being done. And said verse 17, so I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it was that the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded that the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. So don't you remember the lesson, guys? One of the lessons of Israel is that people just profaned it. They said, we're going to go out and work. We're going to make this day common. And so God said, because of this, I'm going to bring disaster on you. Because you don't regard what's mine. You don't keep holy what I made holy. You don't sanctify what I sanctified. Again, you only know about this through Revelation. But this is the story that we read about last week and continue on here today this week in the Scriptures. Let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. I want you to notice something here as we read these verses. What is the cause of this? Why? I want you to ask yourself this question. Why do people break this? Why do they profane this day? Notice Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. It says, "Moreover, God speaking here, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my namesake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all the lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my Sabbath statutes, but profaned them, profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols." Idolatry. Others to serve, not God. This is unique. And God has said He is the Lord of this day. Jesus said He is the Lord of this day. They profaned the Sabbath because their heart went after their idols. So many things to pursue. So many things to run after. I want you to realize something about this. We have had a tremendous change in our society here over the last 100 years. A tremendous change. We have so many things to occupy us, so many things to entertain us, so many things to capture our imaginations, our hearts, our desires. Who is it that wants to distract you from God? Who is it that wants to keep you from knowing what rest is? You know, all it takes is read a magazine, read the newspaper. What? Anxiety attacks are way up. People thinking they're having heart attacks, they go to the hospital. They're just having anxiety. They're stressed out. They're afraid. Nerves are on end. People are angry. The amount of stress, the amount of busyness, the velocity at which we are living life is too fast. You have to slow it down. You have to take the rest. Because if you don't take the rest, you're going to be forcing after things that are going to keep you distracted from the one true living God. If one thing this day does, it gives you time with God. Time. People say, "I'm so busy. I don't have time." No, no, no. There's this command that says, you don't have to work this day. You need to rest. You need to take the time. Let me ask you, if everybody stopped working on the Sabbath day, everybody in our whole society stopped working and spent time worshiping God, reading the Word of God, spending time with family, and giving rest to those around them, do you think this would be a different society? Do you think the attention every week might be on something a little higher, a little more important, a little more leading to what is real? And not all this facade, not all this fake, not all the things that this world offers up and says, this is what you should want. Whether it's money or fame or prestige, but knowing the one true God. But when you run after everything that this world can offer, I got to be involved in this, I got to be after this, I got to do this, well then there's no time for the Sabbath and there's no time for God. And you see a society fleeing God. A society too busy, too stressed. And my friends, a society that goes on rejecting God is a society that cannot stand for long. It will break down. It will crumble. Let's turn over to Isaiah 56. Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56, verse 1. And we kind of touched on this here. There's a moral aspect to the Sabbath. Sometimes you hear it's just like a ceremonial kind of a thing. But remember, before there was a Jew, before there was a Gentile, at the very beginning of creation, God did this. He set this up. He was the first one. And He said, as I rested, I want you to rest. Now notice what He says here. The Lord says, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it. What is He talking about? Blessed is the man who does this. What? Who keeps justice and righteousness. Blessed is the man who lays hold on this. Lays hold on what? Justice and righteousness. How do you do it? How does God say you do it? Who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps His hand from doing any evil. Now notice this. You have been given these things. God says justice and righteousness. There are these righteous requirements of the law that if a man does, he's going to be blessed. If you lay hold on these righteous things of the law, not defiling the Sabbath, keeping your hand from any evil, you're going to be blessed. Now, as the law said it, in order to partake in Israel, you had to be circumcised. Right? To enter in as a child, you had to be circumcised. So notice what it says now, what God is saying. He's going to continue on this path, this thought of justice and righteousness, this thought of he who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing evil. Notice in verse 3, so do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from His people. Don't let him say that. Nor let the eunuch say, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. He says, I'm going to join you all in. Because I'm not just interested in the physical Israel. I'm interested in a people who will be my spiritual Israel. My spiritual house. And to those who would join themselves to this, I'm going to give them a name that is better. Also, the sons of the foreigner, verse 6, who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their offerings, their sacrifices will I accept, and my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. So I'm going to join you all in. If you will keep these things, if you will do this, if you will be keeping the righteous requirements of the law, I'm going to join you in, whether you're a foreigner or an Israelite, whether you're a eunuch or not, I'm going to join you in. Now notice the references here to Paul. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And Paul had just been speaking about here in the verses right above 25 where we're going to pick up about how the commandments were being broken and God's name was being blasphemed among the Gentiles. The Israelites were blaspheming His name because they were breaking His commandments. So he gets down to verse 25. He says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man, like the foreigner, the eunuch that we just read about in Isaiah 56, keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. He says, hold justice, hold righteousness, keep it. He who keeps from defiling my Sabbath and his hand from any evil, he has done this. And even the eunuch, even the foreigner who are not circumcised, will be part of this. He is a Jew who is one inwardly. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Doesn't matter what you physically look like. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. What is it which we put our hope? Now let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. What is it that this day should be about for us? How do we keep it holy? We talked last week that this day, Jesus said this day was made for man. And you think about, if God made something for you, how do you embrace the gift? How do you embrace what He made for you? How do you embrace what it's supposed to do? You know, I got my wife a garlic roaster. Yeah, it was one of those gifts that as soon as you bite, you're like, yeah, this is re-gifting, right? It's going to go somewhere else. I kind of sensed that when I bought it for her. But I was in Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world. I was caught up in the moment, and I had to get it. You know, it's just like, give me that. I got to have it. So, you're feeling the garlic, but you have this thing, but you give it to her. It's no good. You can't really figure it out unless you know the directions, because there's some steps that you have to do to roast the garlic, right? I mean, it's the roaster, but you got to... do the water thing, and then you got to do this oil stuff, and you got to cut the garlic the right way and put it in the oil the right way. There's a way to go about using it to get the maximum out of it. What is its purpose? How do you use it? And you know, when God made this Sabbath, it's important to understand how to use it. How do you get the most out of the gift? How do you get the most out of why He made it? So He says here in Isaiah 58, verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob our father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, I want you to focus on not just the knots, because, you know, we have a tendency to focus on what we can't do. I want you to focus on why we do it. I want you to focus on what God wants about this day, what He sees. We've been talking about this in all the commandments. It's not just that you should not have any gods before God, but that you should love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. When you read the first commandment, see it in the spirit of Jesus Christ. Don't just see it in the letter. Because if you say, well, I've never made any graven images, you can check that off. But how many times have we exchanged the image of the invisible, immortal, all-powerful God for something we can see, believing what our eyes see rather than in the unseen God? The same is with the Sabbath. This day has been so abused because it's been tried to be exacted in the letter and not appreciating the spirit for which it was given. So what does He say here? I want you to notice, delight yourself in the Lord. I guarantee you, if you focus on that on this day, you're not going to go far from what God intended. Say, this is a day I delight myself in Him. You think about that, and you're not going to stray far from what God intended when He gave this day. When we look at this Sabbath day, when we look at the commandments of God, It's not so much about a list of rules about what you can and what you can't do. It is a day about delighting in God. It is a day where you say, all the things that have kept me busy in the work, all the things that keep me what I have to do, there were 6 days for those. This day, I'm going to focus on delighting in God. I'm going to make God my life that day. I know that you can do this when you go to work. I know that we can do this when we go to our meetings. I know that we can do this all throughout the week. But he says, this day, don't let those things be a distraction to me. Delight in me. Rejoice in me. And see what this day is all about. To be intent. When we look at the life of Jesus, when we read about what life was like for him when he came to the earth, he encountered a lot of these questions. Because people challenged him about the way he was entering in to keep the Sabbath. And he gave us a lot of teaching about what to do. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. They were harvesting grain. They were working. They were picking the crops. And he said to him, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor those who were with him, but for only the priests? What is the purpose of the law? Is the purpose of the law to look and say, I'm judging you in the way that you're doing things? Is that why God made the law? So we could keep rules and we could judge each other about how to keep rules? Is that what this is about? Because if you think that, I guarantee you the commandments will be a burden to you because you'll miss the whole point. Any commandment. I'm not just talking about the Sabbath. If your job in life is to go looking for people and be correcting them and judging them, you're going to miss the whole point of why God gives good commandments. Why God teaches us. Verse 5, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? There's work to be done, right? Offering sacrifices, singing praise, teaching. There's work to be done. Blameless. Why? I say to you that in this place there's one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. A day of mercy and not sacrifice. A day of mercy. A day of rest. A day of freedom. A day of liberty. A day of releasing the bondage. It's not a day of tearing down, it's a day of building up. They were looking to judge. They were being shown mercy. They were hungry. They needed something to eat. They said, well, the way you're going about procuring your food breaks the Sabbath. He said, you don't understand what this day is if that's the way you look at these disciples. You're missing the point. It is a day of mercy. It is a day of rest. It is a day of liberation. Turn with me to Mark. Mark chapter 2. Pick up the same account. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 to 28. Mark records this a little differently than Matthew did. He said that Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God gave this to be a gift, a blessing to mankind. He didn't make man to keep the rules of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the gift to man. Man wasn't made to be keeping the Sabbath. Understand why God made it, the purpose of it, the enjoyment of it, to be that blessing that we've been talking about, to be that day of rest. to truly enter in. Man was not made to keep a list of rules. If you start making it a day of bondage and burden, as the Pharisees did, so much so that they were looking at Jesus and judging what he and his disciples were doing, they missed the whole point. This is supposed to be a blessing, not a burden. So he goes on to say, now verse chapter 3, "And so he, Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath." Why? So they might accuse him. Do you see that attitude? Do you see what's going on? The people knew that they were in trouble when they broke the Sabbath. And yes, they had rejected the Sabbath. They had broken the Sabbath. But now they had made the Sabbath these list of rules. How far can you walk on the Sabbath? Can you carry a bed on the Sabbath? What can you do on the Sabbath? They made this day a day of rules and regulations and legalism. And they missed the obedience that leads to righteousness and freedom in Jesus Christ and God. So they wanted to accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill it?" In other words, what's the purpose of the day? What is the fulfillment of the law? Is it a day to tear down or to build up? A day to heal or to break? A day to save life or to kill it? In this, we find the truth about this. But it says they kept silent. And so when he had looked around at them, notice Jesus, he looked around at them with anger. "You're abusing what I made," I imagine he was thinking. "You don't understand. Jesus made this day. You see, you're missing it. You've looked at it the wrong way. You're taking the gift I've given you and you're using it the wrong way. You've made it this day of judgment instead of this day of blessing." Being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched out it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And so the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Do you see the contrast? One are looking at this day as a day to save. The others are looking at this day as a day to destroy others. Colossians 2 says, "Let no one judge you regarding food and drink or regarding a Sabbath, a new moon, or a feast day." Don't let people judge you about it. Jesus was doing what was right, and he did not allow them to judge him. He was healing, though they said it was a sin. He allowed his disciples to pick grain, to harvest the grain and pick it because they were hungry, because he was showing mercy. He was giving rest. He was fulfilling the intent of this command. So when you're concerned about the rules, you're always going to miss why the day. What is the point of the commandments? To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That this day, working 6 days and resting on the seventh day, is about loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Got to do them. It's about fulfilling things that Jesus said. Notice with me, if you would, over in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. Now it says, "Now he," speaking of Jesus, "was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and he was bent over, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. Now when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day.' And the Lord answered and said to him, 'Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. A day of loosing. Remember how we read in the commandments? It said that God created and rested on the seventh day. And then he says, and remember on this day that you were a slave. And he says in the commandments, you shall rest, you and your sons and your daughters and your manservant and your maidservant and the stranger who is within you and the animals that are around you. Basically, give rest to those people that are within your control. As you have the ability to give rest, do so. And Jesus saw a woman bound for 18 years. And what did he do? He said, be loosed. I unburden you. I free you. I free you. I let you go. The day is about freeing the burdens of those around you. Jesus said, I have been working, my Father has been working until now. What is the work of God? That you may believe in His Son whom He sent. As Jesus went around, the work that He was doing, that they were accusing Him of working on the Sabbath, was all about giving rest. God gives rest to you so you can give rest to others. We see this in the example of the disciples. This was a day of giving rest, of giving freedom, of giving liberty, to enter into the spiritual work. You know, we often in our society don't have time for people. We don't have time to share, to build these relationships. Because we're busy, right? We have work, we have school, we have projects, taking care of the home, washing the clothes, right? Doing the dishes, preparing. He's saying, this day, spend the time building these relationships. How can you lift somebody else up today? How can you take this time to build up others? Writing a postcard to somebody, visiting somebody who's sick or hurting or in need, taking the time to pray more, taking the time to worship God, taking the time to delight in Him, to love Him, and to serve others. That's what this day is about. God is giving the time to do it. It was a day of freedom. It was a day of liberty. This was the spiritual work that Jesus came to do. He says in Luke 4 that he entered into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day he stood up to read, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This day is all about that. This is a day where you can just stop your work and just say, that's what I'm focused on. The gospel, the message, and setting free those who are bondage, those who are held up, those who need to see. Make this that kind of a day. A day when people say, we remember that we were held captive. We remember what it was like to not know Jesus. We remember what it was like, and can look back and say, you know, if I did not know God, I would be in bondage. Friends, we live in a world in bondage. We live in a society in bondage to sin and to death and to the things of this world. So this is a day for freedom. This is a day when we should be focused on the freedom, on the liberty, on the God who made the heavens and earth, who said, take my yoke, make it easy. This is not a day of burden. Notice in 1 John 5 and verse 3, 1 John 5 and verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. As I said it before, if we look at this day as a burden, we have missed the point of the day. It's supposed to be a day of freedom. It's supposed to be a day of rest. It is supposed to be a day of putting down everything, to cease from our own labors, to focus on loving God and loving others. Now again, we can do this, and we should do this every day of the week. But this is a day where you say, but all the things I have to do, I put them down so I can focus on this simple thing. Focusing on God, putting a hedge about this time so that we can be rested and we can refresh in Him. Because the work week gets hard, doesn't it? There's a lot of duties being a human being. And it said that when God was finished making the heavens and earth, it said He rested, and it said He rested and was refreshed. God Himself. Now, could God rest and refresh every day? You see the point? Yes, right? Certainly. But He said, but He on the seventh day, He rested and was refreshed. And He's left us this example that we need rest and refreshment. You know, when God was giving these commands in Leviticus chapter 25, He said, every 7 years you shall give a Sabbath rest to the land. Don't plant on it. Don't plow it. You need to give rest to it every seventh year. Why do you think God said that? Is there some laws behind that, or are there some things behind that? I work with farmers in one of the businesses I do. They're finding they're stressing the land. They're pushing it too far. And the nutrients are going away. And now there are pieces of land where if you don't chemically enhance it, it won't grow. There's not enough of the little microbes that are needed and the microorganisms to make the soil fertile to produce food. You can kill the soil. When man forces the soil, it can't yield the blessing that it's supposed to bring. To bring the blessing, you've got to follow the way God made it. He said, let the land rest in the seventh year. Now the same thing as we can force the soil as humans, we can force ourselves to push too hard. God says part of this process is there is time for work and there is time for rest. Don't force yourself. Don't force your own soil so that it can't bring forth the fruit that God made it to bring forth. We did a series on the earth and man. We're very much like the earth. We're made of earth. Well, this is dust. This land needs a rest. And God made it and set it up that way. He left behind rest for His people. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. There remains therefore, verse 1 of Hebrews 4, therefore since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have fallen short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now you can remember how when God redeemed His people out of Egypt, they tested Him. One of the tests was that they went out and they didn't rest on the Sabbath that He gave them. They completely disobeyed what He told them to do. They didn't enter in. And this day is a day of faith. You have to believe in God to even recognize this day. I mean, when you really think about it, you would be crazy to even be talking about what I'm talking about today from a scientific standpoint. It is only by revelation. You have to believe this book to believe what I'm saying. Because there's no physical thing you're going to find just in the normal realm of mankind. It's a spiritual revelation. And so He says, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as He said, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, and He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it had been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a Sabbath for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. That's interesting, as he was talking about rest here, the writer of Hebrews in verse 9, he throws in the word Sabbath. He interchanges it. And he uses a completely different tense there to say, basically, I've left behind this Sabbath. There remains, therefore, there is left behind a Sabbath for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest, those who have come to know him, to find our rest within him, to know the liberty from sin, to realize what it is to overcome fear and bondage, to know what it is to be brokenhearted and have Jesus come in and touch you and say, be healed in that wound. To know what it is to forgive and to be forgiven. To know what it is to find His rest. He says, if you have found His rest, if you have entered His rest, if you have entered His rest, then also cease from works as God did from His. There is this Sabbath. There is this day that identifies us as the freed of God. You will only know this because God told you. But it says you are the freed of God. You remember that without Him, you were in bondage to sin. You were in bondage to the things of this world. You were in bondage to death. But this day is a day of your freedom. This day is a day when you say, I don't have to be concerned about the things of the world. I trust in the blessings of God. And as He gave twice as much on the sixth day, He'll bless me too. And He'll give to me, though I enter His rest. I cease from labors, but I know He'll give to me what I need. Because our true rest is found in Him. Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He says, he who has entered His rest, this rest that Jesus spoke of, has Himself also ceased from His works as God did from His. So we live in this time when we're stressed out, we're busied out. We have so many issues. We're tired. And God says, enter this rest. Allow God to unload your burdens this day. Lay them on Him. Just be free. Delight in Him. Worship Him. Build your relationships with other people this day. Take the time that's needed to do these things, and you will be blessed. It's a beautiful day that God has made. It is a day that Jesus showed us wonderful healings, wonderful liberties. It is a day for releasing those who are in bondage. And whatever way you have to do it, I assure you that as you give rest to others, God will give rest to you, to your heart and to your mind. Not just for ourselves, but as we give it and share this day with others. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is a beautiful gift that God made for mankind.